Appreciate that good prayer. And if you want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And the Lord willing, next Sunday, if the Lord blesses my mind to go in the direction that it has, we'll conclude our look at the book of Ecclesiastes. But this morning, we will read Ecclesiastes chapter 11, which is a short chapter, and then we'll go several verses into chapter 12 this morning. As I've been studying through the book of Ecclesiastes, I've come to the conclusion that this book of the Bible is one of the most practical books that we can go to as God's people to really learn about, for lack of a better term that I can come up with this morning, we can learn about the facts of life, because we have Solomon, by the inspiration of God, giving us his life in retrospect. As I've mentioned several times now, Solomon is now an old man, and he's inspired by God to write of his experiences and ultimately what he's learned from his experiences to benefit us as God's people. I picture Solomon here penning these words and sharing these words with his children and his grandchildren, and imparting unto them words of wisdom and godly words of wisdom. And he goes back in retrospect in an unvarnished manner and shows us that the things that the flesh enjoys ultimately just end up in futility and frustration and emptiness and, to borrow Solomon's term, vanity. Solomon had the resources, and he had the ability, and he had the time to experience and live out his life however he wanted to here in this world. And he did everything. There were things that he did that were sinful. There were things that he did that were a reproach to God. And then there were things that he did that weren't inherently bad or inherently evil, but he did them and lost his focus on why he was doing those things. And we've noted over and over again, you can do good things, but if your life is out of balance with God, those good things can end up in frustration and you feeling futile as well. And we've come over the hill now, and we spent a good portion of time last Sunday and the Sunday before last looking at Solomon's lessons that he is giving us as God's people, lessons that are important for us as we live out our lives on a day-to-day basis. Very practical lessons, and we're going to see that again this morning. But if you wanted to go to a book in the Old Testament that's very practical and you can learn from the experiences, negative experiences in many cases, of another individual, you have them here in the book of Ecclesiastes. And I was trying to think, the book of James in the New Testament is probably very similar. If you want to go somewhere and get practical lessons on how to deal with the day in and day out affairs of life. So this morning, again, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we'll start reading in verse 1, and we'll read several verses, and we'll cover a lot of ground this morning, but there's really two concepts that I want us to see this morning. You can title the message this morning, Boldly Moving Forward in Every Season of Life. What we're going to have here is Solomon is going to encourage us as God's people to use the resources, to use the blessings that he has given us in his service and in his honor. And then he's going to speak to us as individuals and how we as individuals are called as children of God to serve God, to minister unto one another in the name of God. So we have that covered here. And very clearly, you're going to see that this is a message for both the young people and the old folks, because Solomon is going to speak to all of those categories this morning, and very specifically, he's going to speak about these things as we go on in the passage. So we'll start reading in verse 1. Solomon says, Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to seven, and also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth, and if the tree fall to the south, or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Verse 5 says, "As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly, the light is sweet and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee to judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." Then chapter 12, very quickly, we read this. "Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Verse 5, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and the fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the gold bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." We live in a time, my friends, this morning that we, as God's people, and really the world and the culture that we live in, we are desperately in need of godly wisdom. I don't know, you don't have to get on social media very long or turn on the television very long, and very quickly you find out that this is a crazy world that we live in. Everything is just confusion and chaos, and you know, we don't have the time to talk about it this morning, but I think a lot of that's by design in the world that we live in today. The enemy loves chaos, and the enemy loves trying to cause disorder amongst God's people. But the big answer is that we need godly wisdom as God's people. And Solomon, by the inspiration of God, that was several verses there that we're going to quickly go through, but I want us to look at the wisdom that God has given us by inspiration through the pen of Solomon, and I want us to take some wisdom, the Lord willing, take some wisdom with us this morning that we can go out and leave this place and live a life that is honoring to God. You know, thinking back on Solomon's life, Solomon started out well. You'll remember at the very beginning we looked at Solomon as a young man. God came to Solomon, and I'm going to paraphrase for time's sake, but God came to Solomon and said to Solomon, you know, ask anything of me that you want, and I'll grant it. And Solomon, in a very right way, Solomon acknowledged that he was a novice, and he needed the wisdom of God to be able to judge the people of God, to be able to lead the people of God, and God was pleased with that. God was pleased with that prayer of Solomon. You know, I'm thankful to know there are prayers that we can pray that are pleasing to God. God was so pleased with that request from Solomon that he granted him this great wisdom, and then God gave Solomon all of those things that he didn't ask for. He gave him wealth. He gave him power. He gave him renown in the world. But Solomon, he started out great, didn't he? He asked for the wisdom of God, and God gave him wisdom, and he had wisdom that no other man had experienced. But what we see is that something happened very soon after that in the life of Solomon, and he went into a deep decline. And that's where we take up in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And let me say this, I thought about this morning, thinking about Solomon's life and thinking about all of my faults and failures. I'm thankful that we serve a long-suffering God, aren't you? You know, Solomon, you know, and people talk about God's people and how judgy God's people can be, but man, I tell you, if Solomon lived in the world that we lived in today, he'd have been written off and canceled and just there would be no chance for forgiveness whatsoever. But God is merciful and God is long-suffering, is he not? Because we see all that Solomon has been through, the scandal, we see the foolish choices, we see the wasted life, we see the wasted resources, but God is still blessing him and God is using him. I love my father-in-law. When we first got married, he said one time to me, he said, nobody is too good that they can't be used for a bad example. Well, I'm thankful that God takes bad examples and by his grace inspires them to write words of wisdom that hopefully we'll listen to. You know, but we see Solomon, and he talks about this at the very beginning of the book of Ecclesiastes. We started in chapter 1, where he said, I'd seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He had no satisfaction in those things. You know, the only thing when you read through here, the only thing that he talks about being satisfying and meaningful to him personally, and he writes it early on in the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, go and enjoy your family. Go home to your wife. Go home to your children. Go home to your family and share a meal with them. If you go back, you'll remember that was really the one satisfying thing that he talked about. You know, we try to look for satisfaction in all of the things of the world. We try to find satisfaction in our jobs, satisfaction in pursuing relationships, satisfaction in alcohol, satisfaction in partying. And Solomon says that real satisfaction comes from us as God's people, living a simple life and keeping God at the forefront of everything that we do. That's real satisfaction. And now Solomon is an old man. You know, he tells us essentially, don't wreck and ruin your life. Trying to chase the pleasures of this world or trying to do things in this world apart from God. It'll never be satisfying. You'll never be satisfied with that. I believe that we live in one of the most dissatisfied cultures that's ever existed in the world. As far as my perspective, maybe there's been other times, but as far as my lifetime, no one's satisfied with anything. You know, you build a house and you say, well, this is my dream house. You know, 5 or 10 years later, you're wanting something else. You're not satisfied. You have a car that runs, a car that's functional, and you know, 5 or 6 years later, you want something else. We're never satisfied. Could it not be because our lives are out of balance with the will of God? Solomon, he's an old man now. And one thing that you see here, I think he's writing this as a warning to us. Because he goes from the spectrum of youth to being very aged to the point that you're going to leave this world. And I think the big point that he's going to make here in these verses that we've already read here is, in his experience, he was now an old man, and he's giving these words of wisdom to younger people, to those that come behind him, and warning them to not realize this before you get too old to do anything. I want to tell you, young people, you need to listen to your moms and your dads and your grandfathers. You need to listen to Brother Michael, other folks in the church, when they try to impart godly wisdom. Because most of us are speaking from experiences that we've gone through that haven't been great experiences in our lives. And that's what Solomon is going to tell us here. You know, you never, and it's human nature, you never realize really what life is about. And if you're not careful, you never realize what life is about until you get too old to really do a lot about it. But what we see here, chapters 11 and 12, we're going to see more wisdom here. We're going to look at two things. He's going to teach us here that as God's people, we need to strive to use the resources, use the talents that God has entrusted us with to serve him and to honor him. And then in the latter part of chapter 11, and then in verse 12, he's going to talk about us as individuals. Our lives, our bodies, the devotion of self, and how we should devote ourselves to the things of God. And the first part of it just summarizes, and we're going to very quickly go through this, but as God's people, we need to walk by faith. This is the brother prayed this morning. Walk by faith and trust those things that God has given us, and trust them to God, and trust that he will bless us as his people as we use those resources, you know, to bring honor unto him, that he'll bless us and he'll make provision for us. Let's go back to verse 1. Now, this is a verse, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, and then Ecclesiastes chapter 12 are well-familiar verses. They're oft-quoted verses, and verse 1 was one that I would hear as a kid, and I really couldn't make sense of it. Solomon says, cast thy bread upon the waters. He says, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, as a kid, when I heard that, I thought about like throwing water, bread out to a water to ducks or something, or to the fish, and I never could make sense of that. My theology was mixed up on that. I couldn't figure that out. But when Solomon is talking about casting the bread upon the waters, I believe, we understand the gist of it, but it's talking about using what God has blessed you with, stepping out on faith and using the resources that God has given you in such a way to honor him, to step out on faith and use those things he's entrusted you with to his honor and to his glory. But this is interesting. As I was studying and thinking about this, you know, what does it mean to cast your bread upon the waters? Well, it's interesting. During the time of Solomon, he amassed great wealth. We've already seen that. He amassed great resources. And one of the interesting things in God's word, if I'm not mistaken, is Solomon was the only king of Israel that had a fleet of ships that went to and fro and navigated the seas. He had a navy, but I believe that he also had ships that would engage in trade with other peoples and other nations. In fact, you can go to 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 22, and it says this, just, you know, keep your finger in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 22, it says this. This is speaking during the time of Solomon, and this is speaking, chapter 10 is speaking about all of the splendor that surrounded King Solomon. It said this, it said, for the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish, he says, with the navy of Hiram. Solomon had a navy. He had a fleet of ships that went in and out of Israel and went to different places. In verse 22, it continues, it says, once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing, notice this, gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. Can you imagine that? Every few years this boat would come in. We understand gold and silver, but it would bring ivory. And that just tells you the distance which these ships went. And Tarshish, if we understand ancient geography, it was really the tip of Spain. When you look at a map from Israel where these ships went through, this was quite a journey that they would make. And they would bring back these exotic animals. They would bring apes and peacocks. And it said this, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. So what these ships were engaged in, they were engaged with trade. Now, they didn't send these ships out empty. So what do you speculate? What do you think they put on these ships when they went to Tarshish and when they went to these other places? Well, what was the essential of life during that time? Bread. So I believe they would take flour, they would take wheat, and they would take barley on these ships. They would go out to these different trade routes, and they would put the bread on the waters, and they would go out, and they would trade with these far-off places and bring back the gold and the silver and the ivory and the monkeys and the peacocks and all of that stuff. He was engaged in trade, and I want you to see here, it was a risk that was taken. As God's people, we are called to walk by faith. You know what walking by faith is synonymous with in this? We have to take risks as God's people. So when he says, cast your bread upon the waters, what he's saying here is that you take what God has blessed you with, you just don't hold it and keep it to yourself. You, by faith, go forward and appropriate and use what God has given you to his glory and to his honor. And he says here that you cast your bread upon the waters and you shall find it after many days. Now there's some wisdom for us today, both young and old. Anything that you have this morning, do you acknowledge this morning, it's by the grace of God? You know, whatever you have in your bank account, your 501k, and you're safe at home, whatever you have in your wallet, whatever materials and resources you have, you understand it's by the grace of God that you have that? And what he's saying here is by faith, we live our lives. We use those things that God has given us in an honorable way, in a way that honors God, and he'll bless and provide for you. Now, it's not health, wealth, and prosperity doctrine. That's erroneous. You know, we're not going to have everything that we want in this world. I'm not saying this morning that you take what God has given you and you give it in the service of God. He's going to give you a Mercedes and a mansion. We know that in this world, that's not the way things work. But what we do know is God will bless us when we take whatever we have and use it to glorify and honor his name. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, that can mean a lot of things. You know, using the things that God has given you to minister to the needs of other people, to use what God has given you for the sake of the church. You know, there's many avenues that this can go. But what he's saying here is, as God's people, we walk by faith. We have to step out. And I want you to understand, from a human perspective, in many ways, it is risky for us to step out and do what God has called us to do. You say, well, I'm not real sure about that. Well, it's not called walking by sight. It's called walking by faith. And that's what Solomon is saying here. Old man Solomon is saying to us now, take what God has blessed you with. Instead of using it for selfish pleasures, for selfish pursuits, for pursuits that are apart from God, cast your bread upon the waters and use what God has given you with a balanced view of God. And honor him in how you use the resources of your life. And God will bless you, for ye thou shalt find it after many days. You think about all of the money and resources that Solomon spent on chasing the things of the world. It was vanity. And I think about my own life, how much money I spend on the things of the world that might give temporary pleasure, but after a while, very, very quickly in many cases, the shine goes off of it. Use what God has given you to bring honor and magnify his name. You know, he's talking about us being engaged in the service of God. Get out of your comfort zone. Our flesh likes to just keep things the status quo. Our flesh likes the things that are pleasing to the flesh, but Solomon says, cast your bread upon the waters. In other words, we lean on God's word, we lean on the wisdom of God, and use the resources that he has given us in the service of the Lord and honoring him. And I want to tell you, every one of you have a purpose this morning. You realize that? If you've been born again by the Spirit of God, you've been given spiritual gifts. And if you're here this morning, you're a part of this body, there is a purpose to your life. Now, we need to use what God has given us to, in whatever ways he has led us to honor him. Notice, he goes on. Well, you say, well, I don't know what that is in my life. Well, I believe in every avenue of life, we can have a ministry and we can honor God in what we do. You say, well, my job, I'm a custodian. Well, how can I do that? Well, you can honor God in those jobs. You know, do the best you can in those jobs and minister to the people that you come into contact with. Some of the most memorable people that I remember in my school life weren't teachers, but they were the custodians of the other people around there. Maybe you just need to pray. Well, God, how can I honor you in my job? God, how can I be useful in my church? There are plenty of things that need to be done in the kingdom of God. If you have a question, you want a job, come see me and we'll put you to work. He says, cast your bread upon the waters. And then he talks about diversity in verse 2. He says, give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. What he's talking about here is diversity. You know, in a practical sense, if you have investments, any investor worth his salt will say you have to diversify your investments. Don't put all of your eggs in one basket. What he's talking about in our service to God, you know, sometimes we can have tunnel vision, but God gives us multiple opportunities to serve him. And we don't have to manufacture things. That's the thing. You know, there's always something to do amongst God's people. You can visit with those that are sick, minister to those that are in need, check up on those that aren't here, and you know, offer a word of encouragement. He's talking about diversifying, and I don't think he's just talking about in the church standpoint, but you know, you can honor God at work. You can honor God at school. You should be. Honor God in your house with your family. And he's given this idea here of, spreading out the blessings that God has given you and using them in multiple ways in your life. Sometimes people spend a lot of time, well, I just want to know what the will of God is in my life. Well, you know, wherever you are right now, you can trust that if, you know, God has blessed you with spiritual gifts, you can use those gifts to encourage, to minister, to lift up, to see to the needs of other people. I think about this with the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, his experiences, what an experience Paul had in his life. I was thinking about this a couple of days ago. The Apostle Paul had places that he wanted to go, but God didn't want him to go there. Do you remember that? Paul wanted to go east, if I remember correctly. Paul wanted to go east, and on my map where Paul was, if you go east, that's toward China. God didn't want him to go there. Then he wanted to go north. And God didn't want him to go there, but when he was asleep, I assume he was asleep, God gives him a vision to go to Macedonia and to go there and preach the gospel. Well, he goes there and preaches the gospel to Macedonia. He goes where the Lord leads him. And you'll remember the Macedonian call. He went there, and let me say this, because God's will was for Paul to go to Macedonia. I believe is why we have the truth here today. You know, can you imagine? And God very well could have said, Paul, you go east, and you know, those that are Chinese may have been coming over here and preaching the gospel later on. But he goes, and God leads him to Macedonia. He goes and preaches the gospel, but it wasn't easier. It wasn't a vacation, wasn't it? He didn't get on the Royal Caribbean ship to go and travel, and he didn't go to the sandals vacation when he got to those places. He goes as the Lord leads him. Eventually he goes back to Jerusalem, and there's a riot that's there, and he appeals to Caesar, and he meets the leadership, the rulers of that time. He goes before Festus, and then I believe Felix was next, and Agrippa, and he appeals to Caesar. He's sent to Rome. He's put on a grain ship, he doesn't go on the Princess Cruise Lines there. He goes on to this ship. I believe it was in Caesarea by the sea. And goes to Rome and gets caught up in a storm that's essentially a typhoon on the sea, and spends weeks being tossed back and forth on that ship, going and doing what the Lord had led him to do. I say all that to say it's not always easy to serve the Lord, but he will bless and he will provide. They get caught up in a typhoon. You can go to Acts chapter 27 and read this, but they get caught up in a typhoon, and eventually that ship is beaten up against the rocks, and the ship is destroyed, and everybody survives, and they're on the shore. We can just read verse 22. We'll start reading verse 22. He says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." He says, "For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but the ship." He says, "For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." You cast your bread upon the waters. You use the gifts that God has given you in every area of life. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. It's going to be as Jesus would say, the narrow path, the narrow way. But be of good cheer. Be like the Apostle Paul. I believe God that it shall be even as it is told me. God will get us, essentially what we see here, Paul is saying, God will get us where he wants us to be. That's good news, isn't it? You keep on reading this. You know, they're on the shore, and Paul, they're gathering up wood. A snake bites Paul and just hangs on his hand. And they're just sitting around waiting for Paul to die. But God, he doesn't die. God bless us, and God provides. So many times we have hesitations in serving God. Well, I don't want to stand out. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I don't like conflict. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about walking by faith. We can have all the excuses and hesitations in the world. You know, well, I don't know enough. I'm not a preacher. I don't know enough. God will bless and God will provide. And going back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon addresses that. Verse 3, he says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall forward to the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What this is a picture of is someone just sitting out on their porch watching the weather and using the weather for an excuse not to go out and do what they need to do. Do you ever do that? Well, I know I need to mow the grass, but it looks cloudy over there. I'll put it off to another day. You know, there might be a storm blow. Solomon is saying here that, you know, yeah, it could storm. You know, trees could fall one way or trees could fall the other. But don't focus on that. He says in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You know, there's a warning. Don't just stand around waiting and watching instead of doing. And it's amazing how we can brave the elements when it's something we want to do. You know, I can look out at my yard and see that cloud or whatever, or it being hot out there or whatever. I can think of every excuse in the world not to do that. But if I want to go somewhere and do something, you know, I'll drive through a tornado. I'll drive through a storm. I'll put myself at risk. It's about the priorities, isn't it? Verse 5, he says this. You know, we in the flesh can make excuses for everything. You know, I've become convinced we can justify any behavior we want to in the flesh, and we can make an excuse for anything that we want to in the flesh. Solomon is saying, don't do that. Talking about the weather and the perils of the weather. Verse 5, he says, notice this, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. That's essentially what the Apostle Paul was saying when he says, be of good cheer. When he says there that, you know, I trust God, I believe God, for it shall be even as it was told me. We don't know the way of the Spirit. Jesus taught us that. And, you know, we don't even today in modern science, you know, the babe in the mother's womb growing and developing, there's still a lot of amazing mystery behind that. He says this, you don't know. He says, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. You don't know totally what God is up to in your life. He's able to bless. You know, as you get older, you get life experiences that teach you that, don't you? You know, and I think about experiences in my life. We go through mountaintop experiences, and we go through valley experiences as well. As a minister of gospel, I think about before we moved over here, I didn't know what God had in store for me and for my family. I knew that the work at where I was coming to an end, and those are frightening times when you don't know what God wants you to do next. You know, you can go through those seasons. Sometimes they're short seasons. Sometimes they can last years as individuals and as churches and so forth. But Solomon is saying here, be willing to step out by faith and take the risk. You're called to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, I'm hesitant to do that, Brother Michael. I've been hurt in the past. I've been burned in the past. We've all been hurt and burned. But do we allow the hurts of men and individuals in this world to hinder us in moving forward and serving God? No. We as God's people are called to go forward. Verse 6, in the morning sow thy seed. Notice what he says here. Follow here. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand. So he's talking about planting seed in the morning and planting seed in the evening. He says, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, or whither they both shall alike be good. He said you can labor in the morning and labor in the evening. He says that the morning crop may be a bumper crop, or the evening crop may be a bumper crop, or both of them may be a bumper crop. He's saying here, ultimately, as God's people here, be engaged in the service of God. Instead of just sitting around, entrust what you have to God. Trust that He will bless you, and have a willingness to engage in the service of God in the mornings and in the evenings. And we're going to see here, this is speaking to those that are young and those that are old. One of the things that we hold to as God's people, as the Primitive Baptist Church, is somebody might be here or somebody might be tuned in that wonders why we have integrated worship. Because the Word of God is written to the youngest of the young and to the oldest of the old. We don't separate people, because the Word of God's for us all. And that's what we're going to see here. Now, Solomon is going to run the spectrum from young men and young women, and all the way to old men and old women as well. Verse 9, he says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment." There's two things that are mentioned here. He says, young people, you enjoy youth. You enjoy life as a young person. He says, rejoice in your youth. There are things now in my middle age that I can't do that I once was able to do when I was young. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day that was pulling an all-nighter trip to go somewhere. I said, well, I can still do that, but it takes me about 2 days to recover from that. Now, in my teens and my 20s, I think I could stay up 3 days straight and it not impact me one bit. But if I do it today, you're not going to see me probably the next day. But there's things in the youth that you enjoy. And, you know, I think we live in a society that makes kids grow up too fast. I'm just going to say that. Enjoy your youth. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. The cheerfulness and the optimism of young people is encouraging to me today as a middle-aged person. It's something wonderful to see, something wonderful to be around. He says, walk in the ways of thine heart. Enjoy, he's saying, enjoy the freedom of youth and in the sight of thine eyes. But he gives a caveat here. But know thou, for all these things God will bring into judgment. What he's saying here is, don't let youth get out of control. That means don't be irresponsible and ungodly as a young person. He says here that these things don't get by God. There's consequences for actions that we have in our youth. But he goes on in verse 10, and again, he's still addressing the youth here. He says, therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He's talking about these emotions here, and a lot of these emotions are seen in youth. You know, he talks about sorrow and anger. When you're young, something small can happen, and it feels like the end of the world. Usually, it has to do with the opposite sex. Well, she ignored me, or she went out with somebody else, so I'm just going to lock myself in my room and cry all night. You know, she's the only one in the world for me. Those are youthful emotions. And talks about evil. There's evil. Put away evil from thy flesh. They're saying here that youth is fleeting. Going to chapter 12 and verse 1, he says this, and I want you to take this to heart, young people. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. He says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Evil days. Now you have this transition here from youth to growing up to getting older. He says, remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. Use the blessings of youth to commit the Word of God to your mind and to your heart. You're going to realize at some point you're not able to retain as much information as you once did in your youth. But as a young person, you need to be absorbing the Word of God, sitting under the preached Word of God, reading the Word of God. And he talks about while the evil days come not. What he's talking about, I think, is life experiences. Now, we live in a sin-cursed earth. Young folks today are exposed to sinful things. It's just heartbreaking that they have to go through them. But what happens as you get older is that you have these negative experiences that are multiplied and multiplied and multiplied. And the older you get, the more you have these experiences that you go through. Now, a lot of times they're experiences that you suffer because of the behaviors of others. But if we're being honest with ourselves, we have this flesh as well that continues to fall short of God's glory, that sins and transgresses God's law. And, you know, those things become multiplied as you get older. He talks about evil days coming. You know, when I was a teenager, I thought, well, when I get older, I'll be mature enough. I won't have to deal with the difficulties and temptations that come in young age. Well, you know what? They just keep following you along, don't they? I was talking to a brother not too long ago in his mid-80s. Now I think, man, if I can just reach retirement age, there won't be as many challenges in life. And he starts talking about his temptations and his trials. And, you know, old folks struggle with sin as well. You can retire from your secular job, but you don't retire from this flesh until you leave this world or the Lord comes back. But he says this, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The older you get, the greater the struggles. You know, welcome to adulthood. Don't rush it. The older you get, the greater the struggles. Struggles continue. Temptations and sin, they will never disappear in this world. Take it from the wisdom of Solomon. As a young person, if you spend your time and you spend your resources chasing after the sinful influences of this world, it's wasted time, is what Solomon is telling us. Notice what he goes on. He starts going through that very rosy picture of old age. Verse 2, he says, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. You know, he's saying here, get engaged in your youth and live a fulfilling life as a young person as you grow up and you get older. In verse 3, he talks about in the day. I'm going to make y'all feel real good right here now. In the day, he says, when the keepers of the house shall tremble. He's using symbols here to talk about old age. What are the keepers of the house? These guys right here, your hands, you know, your hands that you use to work and your hands that you use to labor. You know, he says the keepers of the house, and I think what this is referring to is protecting your house. You know, if someone breaks in your house, you're going to defend your household. You know, if you break into my house, you might get shot, but if I don't have a gun, the keepers of the house are here. Thunder and lightning. But he says here, as you get older, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. You know what happens as you get older? You tremble. Don't ask me to thread a needle for you anymore. Between age and just rattled nerves, I can't do it anymore. Your fine motor skills start going when you get older. And he says, the strong man shall bow themselves. What is he talking about, the strong man? He's talking about your back and your core. Yeah, the older you get, the shorter you get. I think I've reached the point now. I'm not getting any taller. I'm getting shorter and wider. The strong man is bowing themselves. I've noticed that. I've noticed that with my dad now. He's starting to walk like my grandfather did. Just you start stooping down and shuffling. That's because a strong man bows himself. And he says, the grinders cease because they are few. What are the grinders? These right here. The grinders cease because they are few. You know, I used to brag about never having any cavities or dental issues. Time will take care of that. Your grinders will cease. They will have problems, won't they, Brother Doug? And then you finance dental work. You get dental work that costs as much as a small car. Your grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. What's that talking about? Looking your eyes. I wear contact lenses because the windows are darkening on me. And most of us are going that way. There's not many people that reach their 40s and their 50s and their 60s without having to wear corrective lenses. That's because the windows are darkened. Then he goes on, verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. What's he talking about? The doors shall be shut in the streets. He's talking about your hearing. Your hearing, the doors are shut. If you notice me saying, huh, or what'd you say? It's because my hearing is going. And we get in there, and when there gets to be multiple sounds going on, echoing in there, it gets worse. Why? Because as we get older, our hearing goes. But you know what? Solomon says this, though. He says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And it says, he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. I can't hear sometimes what my wife is saying across the room. But if I'm laying in bed and 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, if there's a bird outside or one of those stupid chickens starts crowing, I'm awake. Have you experienced that? You're hard of hearing, but you can hear something outside and it wakes you up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. It's because we're getting old. He says, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. He's talking about the voice. The older you get, the weaker your voice gets. Your voice starts to go. Verse 5, he says, and when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. As you get older, you're not as bold as you once were. You ever find yourself saying that, I don't want to get up on that ladder and get that high? I've never liked heights, but as I get older, I don't want to get off the ground if I don't have to. Because as we get older, we get more fearful of those things. Or going out at night. I don't know about you. It's hard for me to see at night. I do it, but the older you get, the worse that gets. He says, and the almond tree shall flourish. What happens when the almond tree blooms? It turns white. What happens up here with your hair? It either turns gray or turns loose. Mine's in a race to see which one is going to win. And he says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. When he says grasshopper, he's talking about your legs. You know, do you get up in the morning and your legs don't work like they used to? And he says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden and desire shall fail. That's what it means when it says desire shall fail. Move on. And it says, and because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets. He talks about all of these ailments and eventual death. Verse 6, he says, or ever the silver cord be loosed. He talks about the silver cord. He's talking about our spine, our skeletal system. You know, if you don't have any of these other things, you probably have some kind of arthritis somewhere. You're not as mobile as you once were. He talks about the golden bowl being broken. I think he's talking about symbolically the brain. If your body's not letting you down, your brain is. You know, with science, we can live longer. We can have a longer quantity of life. But with quality of life, as folks get older, your brain starts failing you. You know, you can't remember the things that you once remembered. Or you get struck with dementia, Alzheimer's, or something like that. You know, the golden bowl be broken. He talks about the pitcher being broken. I think he's talking about the lungs there. You get older, you have respiratory issues. You can't go out and run 3 miles if you were ever able to do that. He talks about the fountain, he says, or the wheel broken at the cistern. I think he's talking about your heart. We're all getting older. And then he says in verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. You know, he talks about this being vanity. We're going to be young. We're going to get older and older and older. At some point, we'll leave this world. But the message that he's giving us as God's people is that in every season of life, even though these things are happening, you never quit serving God. You know, God, if you're still alive, I told this to my grandmother because she'd wanted to die for almost 20 years. She got past 80. I just wish the Lord would take me home. She would do that, and she lived to be almost 100 years old. And finally, I said to her just a couple weeks before she died, I said, well, Nanny, you're just too ornery to die, or maybe it's this. Maybe God still has a reason for you to be here. You can quit serving God here in this world when you die and go to heaven. That is what he's saying here. Young people, serve and honor God. every season of life that comes, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. And Solomon's saying, as you're getting older, you're not going to have the strength and vitality and the benefits of youth as you get older. But trust in the Lord. He will bless. He will provide. Cast your bread upon the waters. He will return it unto you. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you're still here, God's got a purpose for you being here. We say, Brother Michael, that sure gets out there on the line. You're sure you're not being an absolute? No, I'm telling you what the Bible says. You know, as long as you're here in this world, God has a purpose for you being here. I remember I think it was back in the 90s. Remember the 100-year-old guy that bungee jumped? I think his name was Potter, but he was a daredevil. He was like in World War II and everything like that. And 100 years old, he wanted to bungee jump. His kids said, there's no way you're going to bungee jump. Well, what did he do? He just did what he wanted to do. He was in California. He went and bungee jumped. Jumped, you know, one of these gorges. They had a bridge. He jumped off at 100 years old. And, you know, the people did it. I guess you sign a release. And they dropped him off there, and he bungee jumped. And they talked about they were scared when he first went down, but then they saw him waving from down below. And they said that the first thing that he asked for after he had finished his bungee jump was this. He says, can somebody please go get me my teeth? Don't let old age hinder you from moving forward and serving God. You are not dead yet. And in the kingdom of God, you are here for a reason. You can be a blessing to anyone at any season of life. Cast your bread upon the waters. I pray that the Lord would bless us as his people, wherever we find ourselves in this season of life, that we would serve God. Maybe we have grown complacent. Maybe we have gone astray. But as I started out at the very beginning this morning, our God is a God of mercy, and our God is a God of forgiveness. So if we confess our sins, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's turn to song number 450.